Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. We've been doing this study in Proverbs. This will be the last one in the series, although you could spend a lot of time in Proverbs. But I'd like to start this morning with Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, as we look at Proverbs, as we look at what it teaches us about what it means to be wise as opposed to the foolish, what it means to be humble as opposed to proud, what it means to be righteous as opposed to wicked. Father, help us to listen to these verses. Lord, I know that some of them smack me in the face at times. And Father, I just pray that in terms of practical righteousness, you would open our hearts and minds to learn how to walk with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. We've been saying that Proverbs basically talks about two kinds of people: the wise, who are the humble, who are the righteous, and the fools and the scoffers, who are the proud, who are the wicked. And this morning we're going to finish up talking about what Proverbs and several other passages have to say about the wicked. And it's interesting the number of ways that they link together. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. In Psalm 10, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So the proud are the wicked. Ecclesiastes is interesting in terms of sorting things out. It's Solomon reasoning under the sun. But I found this verse fascinating. I turn my heart to know and search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And notice wickedness and folly are foolish. The NIV says the stupidity of wickedness. I thought that was really blunt. Being wicked is stupid. And so they are linked. And then I want to go to 1 Samuel and talk about a man who manifests wickedness and foolishness. And I think I can prove he's a mocker, and he's definitely proud. And that's the man Nabal. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them." Now the setting is Nabal has all these flocks and herds, and David's men have been in the area, and David has instructed his men to help Nabal's men take care of the animals and to make sure that there aren't marauders, to make sure that there aren't people trying to steal them. David has rendered a very large service to Nabal. Nabal's shearing sheep. David sends a couple of the men and just says, you know, it's a festive occasion. Everybody's celebrating. We rendered a major service to you. Is there something you would like to do for us? And Nabal starts hurling insults. And David's men go back. One of the things that the servants say to Abigail is he is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. And if you listen to what Nabal says, you'll notice a lot of first-person pronouns my, I, and it's all about him. It's all pride. And finally, Abigail, in pleading for the life of Nabal and the rest of the people there, says, "Please pay no attention to my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him." And you've got a passage that links all of them together. The guy's a fool. He's a mocker because he hurls insults when someone tries to ask him about something. His name means fool. He's proud, and he's wicked. And I think one of the things that Proverbs will do is if we read about the fool, if we read about the mocker, if we read about pride, it makes that connection to say, that's wicked. That's sin. That's really bad stuff. That's not inconsequential. One of the first passages of Scripture I ever learned was the first Psalm. We always, when I was growing up, used to quote the Lord's Prayer or a psalm around the dinner table, and this was one of Mom and Dad's favorites. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked." Blessed is the person who doesn't walk alongside the wicked, does not associate with, they're not his best friends, or stand in the way sinners take. Blessed is the person who doesn't get on the path that sinners are on. That's a common theme in Proverbs. Or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit with people who mock. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked. Again, they're linked. And again, Psalms is saying, blessing is upon the one who's not part of that, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, in the desert, a lot of streams will go dry in the summer months. But I'm told, no personal experience, if you go to one of those streams and dig down a couple feet from when the water was running, there's moist, and usually 2 feet down, water will start to seep into the hole. And a tree in a desert climate that's planted by a river or a stream, even if it runs dry in the summer, there's always water for the roots down deep. And that's how the man is who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it. And then the contrast. Not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Proverbs is going to say, the name of the wicked will rot. You know, nobody's going to pronounce blessings on the name of a wicked man 50 years after he's dead. But the righteous are going to be remembered. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 119:65. God has talked to me about this one over and over and over again. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Now think about that. Those who love the Word of God have great peace. And no matter what comes into their life, nothing can make them fall down so as not to get up again. Now, Proverbs would say the righteous falls down seven times and gets up again. But when the wicked goes down, he stays down. But great peace have they which love thy law. And that contrast to one of Mom's favorite verses in Isaiah. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You know, one of the characteristics that God is trying to build into his people is peace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But the wicked have no peace. It just doesn't come. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Now, I've never lived next to the ocean, but I've gone to the ocean a few times when we visit our daughter in Maine, and you see all the stuff that gets churned up by those waves. And sometimes it's not all that pretty. And the picture of the ocean is constant movement, constant tumult, and a constant digging up stuff from the bottom that would probably be better off if it stayed down there. And that's a picture of the wicked. A constant turmoil, constant activity, a constant bringing up stuff, and no peace. No peace to the wicked. It's interesting that in the description of what sin is like, Romans 3 says, and the way of peace they have not known. Another thing Proverbs says very plainly about the wicked is the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Now think about that one for a minute. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now that would connect a couple places. Fools don't understand what's going on, okay? The wise understand what's going on. But a wicked person is walking in darkness. And it's not just darkness, it's deep darkness. Now, have you ever got up and had to go outside and the moon wasn't out and it was cloudy enough, the stars weren't shining and you couldn't see anything? You're going to fall over almost anything you step on. And that's how it is for a wicked person. Because they're not wise, because they're not understanding things from God's perspective, they're continually being tripped up by things they don't know are problems, things they don't see. Proverbs would add, the evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them, the cords of their sin hold them fast. Paul would say in Romans that whoever commits sin becomes the slave to sin. And so wicked people do wicked things, and those things trap them. And those things trap them and hold them fast, but they don't have the wisdom from the Lord to see what's really going on, so they stay in darkness and they're tripped up. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. So they've sort of got a couple ropes around their legs that they can't quite get free of, and they're walking in total darkness, and there are traps and pits that they can fall into at any time. It's not a pretty picture. And they don't know what's going on. And they don't know why it's happening. But those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Wicked people have foolish plans, and they think they're going to get everything they want, and everything is going to come their way, and things are going to just be great, but their sin keeps them from ever realizing what they're going after. This is the verdict in John 3. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, Jesus' teaching would add the fact that it is a deliberate choice for a wicked person to live in darkness because he's doing stuff he really doesn't want people to see. And darkness is much better for hiding things than the bright light of sunshine. And so he chooses to stay in the darkness. And because he chooses to stay in the darkness, he's continually tripping over things. He's bound by his sin. And he's falling into traps and pitfalls that he doesn't see. Now, I'm not even going to do half the verses on wickedness in Proverbs. There's just way too many of them. Proverbs 2. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. If you're wise, it will keep you from falling into the ways of the wicked. But if you're foolish, and if you listen to perverse, twisted speech, you'll end up getting trapped like they are. The name of the righteous is used in blessings. We talk about people who were good people, who accomplished great things, and we say, you know, may you be like so-and-so. May God bless you like he blessed so-and-so. But the name of the wicked will rot. I like that. When they're gone, they're gone. And their name doesn't tend to hang around for people to think about and look at and emulate. The plans of the righteous are just. What righteous people plan to do is right. But the advice of the wicked is deceitful. This linkage is all over in Proverbs. Wickedness and deceit. When a wicked person gives advice, he's usually not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He's usually telling you something that sounds very good, but there are things in it that he is ignoring. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. He comes to us, and what he says is wicked, and it's deceitful. And very often, there is a kernel of truth in there that makes it sound good, but the end result is totally different than what he says it will be. I mean, he said to Eve, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, yeah, they knew what it was to feel evil and to feel shame and to feel guilt, but it wasn't all that great an experience. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Proverbs 17:4 fascinates me. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. You know, I've heard this a good many times, and I think it's true. There's nobody easier to con than a con man. People who are used to thinking that way fall for that kind of stuff. And it's really sort of a strange thing. Wicked people lie all the time. But wicked people listen to liars all the time. They don't get what's going on. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Someone who lies will listen to people tell lies and get themselves in all sorts of trouble. The wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. Oh boy. Wicked people find a way to make money out of doing wrong. The wicked put up a bold front, but the upright give thought to their ways. The idea of putting up a bold front, of pretending everything's exactly the way it ought to be when it isn't. Upright people think about what they're doing. They think about why they're doing it. I saw a lot of verses about this last topic, and it's one that I think all of us may struggle with at times. Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company. You know, life is such that sometimes wicked people prosper for a time. The whole argument between Job and his friends hinges on the fact that Job's friend said, God always punishes wicked people, and God always blesses righteous people, and you're being punished, so you gotta be wicked. And Job says, it doesn't always work exactly like that. Sometimes the wicked prosper for a time. Now, in the end, they go down, or at least they go down at the final judgment. But sometimes the wicked will prosper for a time. And so Proverbs says, do not envy the wicked. When you look at somebody that is sinning and apparently is prospering, don't envy them. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. Well, God, why haven't you done something about so-and-so? What's up with this? Why are they always getting away with stuff? For the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Don't live your life in fear of things that can happen, because God deals with the wicked. Remember, we're back to great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. What the wicked dread will overtake them, what the righteous desire will be granted. It doesn't mean, and you just got to read the book of Job to see it, that the righteous always get their desires and the wicked always go down. But there is a pattern. And God is at work in a righteous person's life to bring blessing. And he's at work to bring judgment on the wicked. The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. Be sure of this: the wicked will not go unpunished. You know, there are days when you look at what's going on in our world where you say, really? Because the wicked often flourish for a time. But Proverbs says, be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. There's a psalm that talks about how we should look at what's going on when the wicked prosper for a time. It's Psalm 23. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The psalmist says, I almost lost it. I almost went down because I saw wicked, evil, conniving people, and their schemes seemed to prosper over and over again. And God didn't seem to do anything to stop it. You know, this is one of the hard things in the Christian life, because the wicked often prosper for a time. So Psalm 73, when I tried to understand all this, when I looked at evil people who were prospering and thought about all the struggles I was having, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. This was really getting to me. And then I went into the presence of God. Then I understood their final destiny. So are the wicked always going to be caught in this life? No. There's a tendency for that to happen. Proverbs is a picture of patterns. But are some people going to survive in their wickedness and not get caught or figured out until the very end? No. But they have a destiny. And God is just. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by tares. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. It may seem like the wicked are getting away with it all. It may seem like justice never happens. You know, I've thought a lot about the book of Habakkuk. I thought a lot about Habakkuk's plea when he says to God, God, you gotta do something. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted and twisted. Why are you letting the wicked get away with it? And you have to look at a few more passages to get what I'm saying, but basically what God says to him is, there is so much wickedness going on that I can't just single out this person and this person and this person. I'm going to deal with the whole nation. I'm going to send in the Babylonians, and they're going to take care of it. And Habakkuk says to God, they're worse than we are. And God says, yeah, and when they're done taking care of you, I'm going to take care of them. And part of the issue we face right now with pervasive wickedness is, what is God going to do with pervasive wickedness? And very often, he will judge an entire nation. He will judge an entire people group because it is so pervasive. People say to me, well, God struck down Ananias and Sapphira for lying. Why doesn't he do that today? Because he wants somebody left. I mean, you know, when the whole group gets involved in wickedness, God tends to deal with groups. Paul says the same thing in 1 Timothy. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. Some people get caught early. And actually, that's a blessing. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious. And even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. Don't envy the wicked. Don't envy people who seem to get away with it over and over and over again. Usually, but not always, usually it will come back and get them in this life. But if it doesn't, every one of us stands before God, and God deals with sin. So some things to remember. Proverbs links the fool, the mocker, the proud, and the wicked together. They share many of the same characteristics. It's not right to think of being foolish or being a mocker or being proud as insignificant. It's all wickedness. God blesses those who do not associate with the wicked. People who love God's word have great peace. Like I say, that's a barometer I use on myself a lot and say, okay, you got to help me here, Lord. People who love God's word have great peace. Wicked people do not. Wicked people live in darkness by choice and get tripped up by the consequences of sin they do not see coming. Wicked people lie and are deceived by liars. Do not envy the wicked person who prospers for a time. Eventually, judgment will come, although it may not happen in this life. And I traced the origins of this statement, and it was sort of fascinating, and it's quoted in a number of different ways. But the mills of God grind slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. God is going to deal with sin. He is going to deal with it completely. We need to believe that. We need to rest in that. And we need to make sure that we don't envy the wicked, even when they prosper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we've talked about practical righteousness versus practical wickedness and the other things we've talked about in Proverbs, Lord, help us to seek to be wise, to be humble, and to live lives that please you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.